The footage of Triple M.
The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And don't you love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Enormous, tremendous, massive game of football coming your way tonight. Geelong taking on the Tigers. We've been waiting for this one for a long time. But before that, though, an hour and 50 minutes of rolled gold. Possibly the biggest show lineup in the history of the Friday Huddle. Juddy is going deep one-on-one with Nick Natanui, if you don't mind. Nate's top five has been downloaded. A storm. Keep an eye for that one. The Sean Grigg from the Geelong Football Club. Cult hero of the week. Peter Riccardi with that amazing goal all those years ago. Judge Juddy is in the house. We'll start with Damo, who is in the hub. Good evening to you, Damo. How are you going?
Well, thank you, Howie. 11 days into the 14 days of required quarantine. So fair to say, counting down those final 3 days where I get a modicum of freedom back.
We miss you. Noodles Brown is in the house. Hello, Noodles.
Always good to be here, Howard. Friday night's a very special night and somebody's had a big fortnight. It's a career best fortnight, I would have thought.
We'll get to that in a moment. Judge Juddy is here.
Howard, good to see you. Good to be out of the house. Huge week from Duke and great to see Purple with, we believe, an exclusive as well.
Yes, he's going to bring that to the table very, very soon.
Exclusive.
Wow. No matter what your political bent, no matter which side of the situation you sit on in Victoria, I think our man deserves a round of applause for the
team. Round of applause, wow.
Hello to the skipper of the team who's led from the front this week, taking on the Premier of the state in a one-on-one extraordinary interview.
For the first time this week, I feel awkward, you guys clapping, because I know that is as disingenuous as it comes, and I take that. And if you ever feel like you're getting happy with yourself and you maybe get a bit carried, you turn up the Friday Huddle. It's a great levelling experience. I don't expect to come very much back down to where it sits, but as we know, it's not politics, and that isn't even politics, actually. That's just the morning show that I do. And anyone who's listened from March would know that I've been asking probably pretty similar questions for a long period of time. So
are you
no surprise that that would have happened.
Are you thinking about running for the top job?
What would be the top job, Howie?
Premier.
Premier?
Mm.
State level.
Oh, yeah.
State level.
I think he's born to lead this man,
Judd.
I think so. I like the idea, Howard. I think it's a great idea.
Really?
I think it's got wings.
Here we go. Yeah, this.
I think Nate's top five.
Not a political bone in my. I'd be the most apolitical person that you would know.
Maybe that's what the state needs, Duke.
Someone who's neutral, potentially, Nate. Just the idea that at this time, maybe the most important time in Victorian history. So you get we're all lucky because we all sit behind the microphone, all of us. So you get the opportunity. And how lucky are you to be able to ask some questions, whether they're well received or not? Damo is another thing. But you've been in that business for a long period of time, so. It's a fascinating time to have a radio platform, and hopefully you can use it strongly and wisely, Damo.
It's fair to say, Dust, though, that the state is crying out for someone different to the person in charge. And to Brownie's point, to maybe set up something quite apolitical could be the avenue that it needs.
Will you stick with us if you become the man in charge of the state, or will you?
I'll drop you all like a hot spud.
We'll take no calls from it.
But I couldn't last a day. I went on too many end of season trips with Nate. I have got way too many skeletons.
What's the feedback been like this week?
As I said, it's been a fascinating week, Howie, because I've had the pleasure of sitting in a studio where the Premier of Victoria's come in. I would estimate, over 20 times, maybe closer to 30 times. And he's smart, he's intelligent. I like him because I think he's done fantastic things for the state. But I think at the same time, just because you're an ex-footballer doesn't mean that you can't ask, hopefully, a reasonably well-searched, researched, intelligent question. Now, there's been some, you always get feedback when you delve into these matters, and I'm not naive enough to think that wouldn't have been the case. But, I think if you ask something respectfully, people don't have to agree with it. But at the moment, we're living in a time, as we all are aware here in Melbourne, that is unique, that is extraordinary. And all I asked, effectively, was, hey, there's an unbelievable amount of alternative options. When you say that that wasn't even a choice, that it was 50-50, why aren't you listening to one bracket of people who are the medicos who have put themselves on the line? Well, now we're having people come out who have got incredible history in this space saying, we have to stop now and pivot to an alternative. Would you take on some consultation, Howie? That was the question.
Very earnest, our man.
Well,
sort of going back down the political path here.
Yeah. It's a very Jeff Kennett-like, isn't it?
Jeff Kennett.
I think you need a political running mate. And I think another footballer of great renown out of Canberra. This man, Malman Ninga, might be the man you need to join up with.
Just a person out there making sure that I was... I'm buggered. I'm sorry. I have to resign.
I would fall at a hurdle very quickly like that, Howie. No agenda.
You did use the word nuance a lot, didn't you?
Did I go with that a bit? I haven't listened to it back, so I certainly hadn't had a pre-plan, Howie. That's Nate. Perhaps if you listen to yourself back, you might have.
You did well. We'll move on. We'll move on. 2 years ago, almost to the night, we had an unfortunate situation that came to light on the Friday huddle, of which I've got an update, but I just want to take you back two years ago.
It's always a special day when you get to meet one of your childhood heroes, and that's what happened today. I got to meet the great Wazim Akram.
So this part of my story you're saying is correct. You met Wazim Akram today?
Met Wazim Akram, check.
I can now tell you what I was told by this very high-profile international cricketer, or you can come out and tell us how the meeting went, Judge.
I may have said hello, Imran.
Now, a lot of us can't believe that actually occurred. There's been a lot of debate. A lot of people said he
could have done that. Is that a true story?
Well, I was sitting down this week on a very highly rated podcast called The Howie Games, and I had the pleasure of chatting to Wazim Akram in Karachi, of all people. We finished the interview. We're all done and dusted. We've gone on very nicely, and then he got a little bit snaky.
You know this Chris Judd, the top player, AFL player?
Yeah, I worked with him on a Friday night.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You know, he called me Imran Khan. My wife introduced me to him, and he had one job, to get my name right, and he messed it up. Please tell him, next time my name is Wazim, Imran Khan is the Prime Minister of Pakistan.
He's not happy.
Could happen to anyone.
He's not happy.
I knew he was a left armer. I got the names mixed up, but I have a huge admiration for both of those.
Imran's a right armer.
Yeah. I knew Wazim was a left armer. I knew Imran was a right armer, but I just got the names mixed up.
How soon after you said Imran did you realise?
As soon as it was out my mouth. Yeah. So that happens. That happens. You just you get on, you pick yourself up, and you roll with the punches, Howard. You know that.
He was great
fantastic
clanger.
As a podcast, and then he just said, "Oh, this is something I need to address."
Did he? He did that unprompted, did he?
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. His recall.
It's been on his chest. Yeah. He wanted to get it off for a while.
It was quite extraordinary. Hey, Damo, big news about the grand final. What can you tell us? It looks like we've got an actual time to roll, have we?
Yeah, for Melburnians, it's going to be a 7:30 p.m. start on Saturday, October 24. That will obviously be a 6:30 local Brisbane time start. And the other significant event of that day will be the Cox Plate. Moonee Valley is scheduled that start time for that race at 4:15. So 4:15 Melbourne time for Cox Plate, 7:30 p.m. night time, Saturday, October 24, grand final.
Comes to Nat Nui. A snap on the turn puts it through for a goal.
Nat Nui! Oh, they're taking the pee.
Oh, Nat Nui brought him down. Shoved his head in the ground. Big tackle.
Over the top. Nat Nui crashes to the ground. He held the mark.
Nat Nui picks it up.
Absolute star of the game, Nick Natanui. We're about to welcome him to the Friday huddle. Unfortunately, Das, yourself, myself and Brownie are not permitted to ask any questions because Juddy has organised some West Coast sort of catch-up and apparently wants to do it solo. So it is time for...
Letterman.
How'd you like being in jail?
Parkinson.
Why do you say that? I mean, do you mean that?
Denton.
Stay with me, it's okay.
Judd.
I've been too big for football for a little while, let's be honest.
Chris Judd is going deep.
5CJ.
Forgot the 5CJ.
Thanks, Howard. Nick, great to have you on the show. Thought you were brilliant last night, particularly late in the last quarter. How'd you pull up from the win?
Hey, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, pulled up pretty well. So we finally got a 7-day break. So all the boys are pretty happy and smiling. We can have a normal week, but probably means more meetings and more training. But no, feeling good.
And Tim Kelly last night was brilliant. I thought he was the best player on the ground. I'm loving watching him play. It feels like you and him have built a really strong connection early. How have you enjoyed playing with him?
Yeah, he's been good coming across. It's probably taken a bit of time. You know, we had that kind of 10-week break and didn't get to work with each other as much. But I think himself and Andrew Gaff probably led the way throughout the whole game, especially with having some big outs that we've had out for the last couple of weeks.
And you took it hard a couple of years ago when I beat you in the freestyle battle at Hutchie's tent. Have you been working on your craft since then and coming up with any new ideas?
Yeah, I got my little mate Liam Ryan beatboxing for me, so I'm waiting for part two. Don't worry.
Don't know what you're talking about, this is Chris and Nick.
No. The Vanilla Gorilla.
The Vanilla Gorilla. Do you have a rap name, Nick Nat, or you just roll as Nick Nat?
No, just call me Nick Nat.
Right, this is Nick Nat and the Vanilla Gorilla going toe to toe. That was more of you than Nick Nat, but anyway, Chris.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. What are you reading, Nick? You're an avid reader. What are you reading at the minute?
I'm reading what every kid should be reading. Your kid should be reading too. Little Nick's Big Day.
We have been reading Little Nick's Big Day, and very commercial of you to get the plug in, Nick. Not something I'd be entirely comfortable doing, but glad to see that you're very concerned with the bank account. I like that.
You taught me well.
Now, in the interest or in the spirit of Oscar Judd, I hope you don't mind. I've actually got him to collate a few questions. Would you be comfortable answering them?
Oscar Judd.
Oh, there you go. Hard-hitting questions.
Is he a West Coast supporter, Oscar Judd?
He's a West Coast supporter, and he's very much a Nick Nat supporter. Nick Nat has the role of almost demigod in our house.
Really?
So I said Nick was coming on. Oscar said I want to put a few questions to him. He actually wants to ask Nick a few questions related to our very own huddle members. Oscar's idea really? Is done a thing. So I'll roll the questions for you, Nick.
Luke Darcy once sucker punched a teenager, Robert Murphy, in the back of the head. Have you ever assaulted one of your much younger teammates due to anger management issues?
Oscar Judd.
I remember that too. I remember that story. No, I never would do that, Oscar. And
We all remember that story, Nick. It was a horrible story.
Oscar came up with these questions.
Oscar did. He's got another question for you, Nick.
Oh, okay.
Howard insisted on the Fox commentary team artificially making his voice deeper so that he could feel more manly. Do you ever try and pretend to be something you're not?
Don't believe that, Nick.
I was going to mention that. Howie Games, I've been listening to, and he's got a little bit of a child's voice. So, be who you want to be true to yourself, Oscar.
Come on whenever you want, Nick. You can come on whenever you want.
Great advice there from Nick. Just another one, just from Oscar, Nick. These questions.
Damien Batt is currently recruiting a gang of like-minded people in the hub for security purposes. What should he call his gang? The Outsiders, the Pen Pushers, or the Four-Eyed Fox Swimmers?
All of the above. Oh, this kid's got some good questions.
He's good.
And just the last question that Oscar was keen to find out, Nick.
Nathan Brown has been using finasteride for over a decade. If your hair ever starts to fall out, would you use prescription drugs to stop it happening?
Prescription drugs.
Oh, no. Never.
And how the Judd statue plan's going over there at the new stadium, Nick? I know there's a bit of a disagreement over whether it should be three stories or four stories. How's it coming along? How do you feel about it?
No, I think Dean Cox has got it at the moment. They've got to put his nose at the front. So that's taking priority.
I like it, mate. Thanks very much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Sorry. If that's all right, we might like to ask one of the great stars of the game a couple of questions ourselves. Is that okay or not?
I just felt the energy had gone out of it. I thought it felt like it was done. If you want to jump in.
I would love to just have one with the great Nick Nat. I'm a massive admirer of your ruck craft, Nick. You've brought it back into vogue, and not only have you got the power and the athleticism, but the little flick out the back to your full forward, Josh Kennedy, to me is one of the highlights of the year so far. Where did it come from? Was Dean Cox part of it? Have you always had that touch? Because, mate, it's a treat to watch it.
Oh, it's funny you say that. Straight after the game, the Sydney boys were staying in Perth, and I get a FaceTime from, that bloke, Dean Cox, Stevie Johnson, and the rest of the little rat pack at the Sydney Swans, and they were carrying on about they'd never done it, like they've never seen it before. So they were going, Coxie was saying he did it every single week with, the Stampies of the Shoeys of the Cras, but I practice it all the time. I wouldn't say it's him. I'd say it's our old ruck coach, Jonathan Giles, who taught me that one.
Beautiful.
The journeyman.
Hey, Nick, you mentioned before the 10-week or 11-week break in the season. It was a time for you and others to get yourselves, I suppose, fully fit. But it came at a cost, didn't it? The 5 matches in 19 days you've just endured. How have you got through that personally?
Yeah, I think every team had their injury concerns. And, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, they probably had, 4 or 5 hammies in their team. And we've probably gone through it now. But it's probably happened to a few of our older players, a few of our stars of our team. The Luke Shuey's and the McGovern. So, we've got to work through it. Jack Redden's hurt his hand as well. But it's been good for the young boys to kind of come in and play their role and, bring a bit of excitement to the team as well.
Hey, Nick Nat, Judge always tells us in here that when he played with Dean Cox, they used to run this thing in the ruck and the roving situation called the ghost train. And this is where Coxie would push his other ruckman up under the ball and then Judge would come through like a ghost train at the back and just take the ball. Do you do this with any of the guys like Luke Shuey or Andrew Gaff or anybody?
No, they don't let me do that. I've never heard of that, Juddy. I reckon Juddy's made that one up.
Yeah. First rule about ghost train is you don't speak about ghost train. And Nick knows that. That's why he's not mentioning it.
He's playing it down big time. Hey, Nick, I called the game last night. You were a sensation. I butchered Nat Anui, I think, about 8 different times. And I went Nick Nat, and I couldn't spit that out last night. We should because we love you. But now, I heard you say the actual pronunciation of your name when growing up in Fiji. Can you tell us tonight?
No, I don't know whether – I think I must have done an interview during the first hub and I must have just said something just tongue-in-cheek, and that's been the news everywhere. But no, everyone pronounces it correctly.
Not everyone, not everyone, Nick. This is a guy who does the overnight show on Triple M and based in Sydney, probably not across the fine work of Nick Natanu. Have a listen.
Nick Natanu.
Have you heard that one before?
No, I've been called worse. I think it sounds like when Basil Zemplis was trying to say Antetokounmpo. So, it's on par.
Nick, we appreciate your time. You're a star. Thanks for having a laugh with us. Stay safe, mate. Continue on the path. You've got so many fans, not just in the Judge household, but in football families all around Australia. You give us a lot of joy. We appreciate your time, the Friday Huddle. Stay safe. Great to speak with you, great man.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Jeez, a clever chap. You're a young fella. He obviously listens to the huddle.
Listens,
a bit,
and he had all those questions himself that he wanted answered. And Nick did a great job.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job. Damo, let's just get through a little bit of news while we've got some time, great man.
Yeah, just repeating, Howie, as we said off the top, the AFL has locked in a time to start the grand final this year. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m. Melbourne time. It's Australian Eastern Daylight Time, start time, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, October 24. That, of course, will be a 6:30 local Brisbane time start. The Cox Plate to be run and started at 4:15 on that same day. Just jumping around a bit here, guys.
Looks like we lost Damo for a sec. We'll get back to Damo.
I love the idea that they've been able to go to it's Racing Victoria, isn't it, or the body and say, hey, let's combine our massive events and put them together, Jade. I think it just creates an amazing day, isn't it? Now, whether you perhaps were a racehorse enthusiast, you probably do dial in now.
Yeah.
Maybe if you weren't before. And I think the idea of just creating a sporting mecca on the day is another, brilliant bit of leadership from the AFL and from the people from the horse racing industry as well.
How good for Channel 7? Go from the Cox Plate, then bang Ripper straight into the grand final. Has there been any discussion of plans around the grand final about how you're going to broadcast?
Well, I think because this is so fresh, but Damo's news is that the start time, he's just breaking that tonight, 7:30. Yep. So you'd have I'm sure your panels and your build-up during the day cross out to Moonee Valley for the Australasian Championship of Horse Racing, come back, build up to the game, 7:30 prime time. That is just going to be an awesome event. You'll get all of the interstate market that you probably didn't get on a Saturday afternoon. I think it's an amazing outcome, Jody, given how difficult this year's been.
First to many, Judge, or not? You're the commercial beast.
I think once people see a night grand final, I don't think we'll ever go back. I think much better commercially. And I just think, having witnessed it in the States this year, it is just a much better spectacle.
As a broadcasting partner too, I would imagine Seven would be absolutely over the moon about it.
It'd have to be. I'm staggered, Howie, that it hasn't been something that's happened before. I understand the tradition. There'll be people out there that get very upset about that. But the prelim finals, everything else is done. It's not as though it doesn't make sense to do it. And now you're competing more than you ever have done before. The NRL grand final outrates the AFL Grand Final. And people get used to it. As Jody said, you get used to the afternoon barbecue, the build up to the night.
Would you have a smidgen earlier, Duke?
Yeah, I'd go twilight. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought for kids, I would have thought.
It's just probably the heat of Brisbane and maybe the races has affected this a bit, but the twilight would make sense.
I think you're back with us, Damo. You haven't paid your power bill up there.
Yeah, apologies, guys. I'm using a 5G card here. That's how bad the reception has got to up here. So
Juddy offered to get the team from Spirit Internet onto your account up there, and we're told it has been overloaded. Damo's been just unbelievably busy.
Productive.
Yes, from what we understand, Howie. Record numbers Damo's been doing. So,
hard worker.
Juddy, have you got the Spirit Internet team?
They're ready to go. We're just waiting for the call from Damo, the AOK, and they can come in there, clean up his computer and everything else they need to do and get it going for him.
I might take you up on that next week, Judge, because I can't tolerate the lack of connection I've had this week. So what I was saying when I was talking to myself, guys, look, Stephen Cornelio, as we have now known throughout the course of today, has been omitted from the Giants team to play tomorrow night against Melbourne. But it's a significant axing at this stage of his season, Judge.
It's huge, isn't it? And I think what was interesting was how usually a club, when they do stand a player down of that calibre, particularly when he's had knee history and an injury last year, they do call it as managed. But from all reports, that Jace McCartney was on Triple M this week saying that he wanted to get on the front foot and be known that he was dropped. And I think that shows good courage and good transparency. And his form hasn't been what you'd expect and was interesting, but I thought it was a courageous move.
They tell me Damo is an absolute ripper of a human being, Steve Cornelio. I've met him a handful of times. Yeah. He's an incredible community organiser. He's just does amazing things for the culture at GWS. So I think it's a really powerful statement for a club to make, to say, do you know what? No matter how strong your credentials are, it is on form. I think it sends a great message, Jody. You always... They're hard calls to make, but you can lose the group if you don't make those hard calls at times. So are you in favour of doing it, or do you reckon the captain's got a free pass
now? No, I think it was the right move. Do we know if he's actually going to play in the reserve type game on the weekend, Damien, or?
Well, I haven't caught up with that, Judge. He's one of five omissions from that game, and is in a total of eight changes. A couple have been managed, and Aiden Cole's injured. But to think they can go into this remaining two matches of this season without their captain, and to also make another seven changes, seven of them effectively unforced changes, it's staggering given that they are currently sitting inside the eight and will win through and get into the eight if they do win their remaining two games.
All right, no doubt he'll be back in the side very soon, Damo. It is time for...
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said...
Hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5. For Spirit Internet and IT, all of your business IT and telco needs under one roof.
Not big on compliments on this show, but a few movements I've had this week. I've been up and down the highway, been in a Fox footy a lot, and several people have said Nate Brown's top five has been quite extraordinary.
Thank you very much, Howard. And it's good that we've got a sponsor on board, though. Thank you to Judge. But as we've seen, it's been a big week for the Duke. Oh, it's been a massive fortnight. Not just this week. Last week with Eddie as well. And I don't think his brand has ever been better. I thought that he hit the heights around when he interviewed the weapon, but September... 2020, I don't think the Duke has ever had more currency in
really, Nate?
Politics, football, radio, TV, anything you want.
Wellness.
I feel like I'm about to come back down to earth pretty quickly.
So let's just recap. This is how Darce and Ed went the previous week.
So we've got to
all the
very,
things
very
you're saying are caused because people won't do what's supposed to be right. If we hadn't have had people do
behave badly. But there's debate about
badly,
what's right, Ed. You're allowed to debate what's right. And smart.
What do you think was
people,
a good idea to promulgate getting out in the streets and protesting?
Not in any way, shape, or form.
Well, there you go. That's the start.
So, but you're
so
also
the first
allowed,
action, not the second
freedom
action.
And democracy is actually to have, and you fight for this every day.
Not many people go head-to-head with Ed, and not many people have the courage. And our man over there stood tall. Not only that, he then took on the Premier of our state.
I wanted to see a plan that said Victoria can live with this virus better than any state in the world. Instead, we got more barbaric lockdowns.
Well, Darcy, if you look at Spain, they got down to 200 cases. Then they opened up. They've now got 10,000 cases a day.
But their death rate's gone down immeasurably, Premier, in the second wave. So we know cases is one metric, but we also understand that people now are getting better.
People in Melbourne stood up and they clapped Duke, and he is at the top of his game. Hasn't always been that smooth though, Howard. And before we get into the top five, I just want to remind
you. Not even in the top five.
Where the guy from Adelaide's come from.
Jared Rivers, he's had his spleen shit open. Sorry, let me start again. He's had his shin split open. That's what I tried to say.
Lucky you didn't roll that out for the Premier, Duke. Lucky you didn't roll it. Let's get into the top five, and this is number five. When you're a leader,
yep,
and he's a leader of our group here, you need to lead from the front. And 4 years ago, we started this 4 years ago together, the four of us, and Snorkel over there. And the producer sat us down week two at 5:55 p.m. The feedback from the top wasn't good, he told us.
No, it wasn't.
You talked about yourselves too much, and you need to change the whole show at 5:55. This is 5 minutes before we were to go on. Everybody's flat. We were flat as a tack. And the Duke looked at the producer straight in the eye, and he said, "You can tell Lee Simon to shove that where the sun doesn't shine."
Not sure that's a direct quote, Nate, but it might have been.
It was a lot more rude than that, Duke, and that's what good leaders do. And sometimes, like the great ACDC told us, you can have a bit of this. Looking for thrills, give me some kicks. Now all you ladies, I shoot from the hip. I was born with a stiff. Stiff upper lip. Lock it down. So Duke's got a stiff upper lip. He knows how to handle himself.
When Nate's got audio, this could be the end. This is the beginning of the end.
It's even worse.
I knew Darce as an angry man, and even Nick Natnewi said that he used to be an angry man. We spoke about Bob Murphy, Andy Marr at length, spoken about the piranha tank, but he's really lightened up, and he's tried to make the lighter side of himself, and he's turned himself into a bit of a singer, as we'll hear here.
This game's over, Howie. I've caught it.
You've done the Rex.
It's all over.
Sing, sing.
Ooh, boy, it's over. Ooh, Howie.
But that wasn't the only time he sang.
This show turns me into an idiot.
That wasn't the only time he sang. And lucky the Premier wasn't on the morning he did this.
Oh, no. Lost and insecure. You found me. You found me.
Lying on the floor. Well, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Okay.
What number are we up to here?
Number three now. Three. And we're going to go back to June 4, 1995. And Footscray called it the breakout game. They called it the breakout game because in the first three games, there were zero kicks, zero marks, and zero hit-outs as a ruckman. And Footscray senior coach Alan Joyce was reportedly saying, thank God he's not completely useless. I still don't think he makes it. But in that fourth game, he had 10 kicks, four marks, and four handballs. And they breathed a sigh of relief down at Footscray that the big kid could play. Now, number two. Sometimes when you're at the top of the game, like you are, like Duke is at the moment, you look to the leaders in your field. You sometimes might be a bit down and you look to the leaders and you get inspiration from those leaders. I look to you, Howie.
Yes.
You might look to the leaders in your field. You might look to Pete Evans for some sort of inspiration. And if you're wondering why he's in your field, it's a self-appreciation not field, Howie. Judge, you've had your issues this year with plagiarism and fraud. I thought you might check out Belle Gibson's Instagram account for some sort of inspiration. And Damo, you might look to a well-respected journo, and I'll get back to you on who I can find for that. But Dennis Cometti recently made the mistake of calling a replay. Now, he was shown a hell of a lot of respect from his co-calling team, and that's not how we roll here. And this is number two when Darce called the replay.
Mitch Duncan has won this one out of the centre. The Irishman, Tui, penetrating long kick inside forward 50. And McAvoy back there.
I think you're fine. You might be calling the replay, Duke.
I think...
Did a bloody good job of it.
I think you're right, too.
He's done a Sandy Roberts on us.
Get the boy up.
He's done a Sandy.
I tell you what, it was better the second time round than it was the first time. I've got to say that.
It'd be like Groundhog Day, the movie, if you don't get it right the first time.
I can tell you, they showed Dennis a lot more respect.
Did the great commit call a replay, too?
2 weeks ago.
Did he really?
Swept under the carpet. Did not make an issue
of it. How was the joy in Juddy's voice when he worked out that was a replay?
And number one, I mentioned it off the top. He hasn't been to the heights of the weapon for a long, long time, but in 120 years of football, the biggest story in football, Damo's laughing up there, was the Essendon drug scandal. Now, one man was central, and his name was the weapon, and you know, you come out with great quotes, and there's a lot of great leaders who have amazing quotes, like Trump came out with Make America Great Again, Winston Churchill will fight them on the beaches, and Channel 7 got this from the Duke.
Put a scenario to Steve, and Steve said, to Danny and James, specifically to them, what you're asking me to do is black ops.
Say that again. Stephen Dank said that what you're asking me to do is black ops?
Yes.
Say that again. Say that again. Say that again. Say that again. Say that again.
So there's the top five Duke of all time.
Well done, mate. Well done.
Well, that's a good one. My main takeout of that first show's meeting, the advice was, you guys have to stop talking about yourselves.
In hindsight, it was spot on, Lee Simon. Wait my time again, I would have absolutely... I don't think we've backed down too much, Howie.
What a game we've got coming your way tonight. Geelong versus Richmond. Wonderful to welcome to the show, Nate, a Premiership ruckman, now does some fine work at the Geelong Football Club. Sean Grigg is on the line. Hello to you, Grigger. Great to speak to you. How are you going?
Good evening, boys. Thanks, Harry. No, it's going good. We sort of expected rain up here today, but it's been beautiful. It's going to be a good game.
How's hub life going for you, great man?
I've actually really enjoyed it, especially just coming to a new club. I've had a lot of time to spend with the players and the coaches, so it's fast-tracked my development a bit, Howie. So, I've enjoyed being up in Queensland. It's nice.
You got the family with you up there, Grigger, or are you just flying solo?
They're in quarantine at the moment, Judd, man. So, only a couple more days, and it'll be nice to see them finally.
And you bring a lot of, you obviously bring a lot of inside knowledge about the Richmond guys to Geelong. Does that get called on a lot by Chris Scott and his team this week?
Oh, only a little bit. You know, most teams now know how other teams play, through coaches, and it's pretty obvious to pick it up. It's just one thing to stop it, Juddy. So, we're looking forward to a good game tonight and testing ourselves against probably the best team.
Grigg, you came out of a fantastic environment at the Tigers and won a premiership, and you've gone into another fantastic environment. Chris Scott, to me, seems right at the top of his game. What are the differences? What are the changes in style and how things are done? Is there anything that stands out?
Oh, they're both pretty similar in, both good clubs, both challenging, sort of for top four. So, I've been really surprised by the young guys coming through and the ability that, probably similar to Richmond, that, those young guys can come in and play well straight away. It's a credit to both clubs.
Griggy, vastly different styles that Richmond played compared to Geelong. Obviously, when you're at Richmond, it was pretty much a surge mentality. Get the ball, get it forward, surge the ball, where the Cats very much are a kick, mark, stop, side. How long did it take you to get used to that new game plan?
It's interesting, a few times in pre-season when, we'd be doing a bit of match practice or, to get into the forward line, and I'd be wanting the players to move it on quick or bash it forward or hit it towards the goal square, but I was quickly pulled up, and it's been different learning, different ways, and there's not one way that's necessarily better than the other. It's just different styles that work for different teams. So it's been very interesting.
Sean, I've been privileged enough and fortunate enough to watch Gary Ablett train up here in the quarantine hub under the watchful eye of Andrew Mackie, and even Jared Roughead today put him through some serious paces. He ended up on his back. He's clearly fit enough to play again. Do you lock him in? Are we right to assume now that he does just come simply straight back in for this Round 18 game?
Yeah, well, he gives himself a chance, Damo. He's been training well from all reports, and for me, coming in and seeing him train and the way he kicks the ball is... I haven't seen anything like it. Probably only you, Judd, man, training with you. But Gaz is very good. Obviously, he's got runs on the board, big game player. So, it'd be interesting to see what happens come next week. But if he's fit to go, he's going to be hard to keep out.
And the balancing act that you'll have potentially at that stage of the season, the final game, to have both Gary Ablett available after a long period on the sidelines and also potentially Joel Selwood. Is there a slight back-of-mind concern that bringing two players of that type and age and stage into the mix when it's been going so well without them?
Yeah, we'll just wait and see how it is next week. And Joel's been sort of ready to play, for a week or so now. So Scotty's been pretty adamant that he wants him right to play his best football, not get him in too early. So Joel's got runs on the board in big games, as does Gaz. So it's going to be a headache for the coaching staff next week. Be a couple of long meetings, I think. So we'll wait and see how it pans out.
Now, Grigger, Nathan Brown's pointed out, I think it was a really good point, that Chris Scott is probably looking the best he ever has. The beard's really working for him. He's got the slick back hair. Sort of Don Draper from Mad Men style. Do you agree that this is Chris Scott's best look?
Yeah, he's enjoying it up here, isn't it? It's his home environment. Obviously, he spent a lot of time in Brisbane on his playing days. So, yeah, he's sort of thriving up here, Scotty, isn't he? He's looking good. Spends a bit of time in the gym too.
Hey, Grigor, is there any Geelong player that you played against that you had a few scuffles out on the ground with and now that you're closely involved in that you've just had to smooth over a relationship that maybe you've developed on the football field?
Oh, not really. There's Andrew Mackie and I used to go pretty hard, so now he's he's a great fella, but not too much. I had a couple of old teammates in Lockie Henderson and Zach Tui, so it's good to reunite with those boys.
Juddy always says that he thinks Tom Hawkins looks a lot like Brooke Satchwell. Now, do you see the resemblance there?
No, I don't. I don't at all, Brownie. Sorry, Judd, man.
Nate's got a real way of just sort of finishing an interview. We've heard it several times. Grigor, we appreciate your time. Stay safe. Good luck to you and the Cats tonight.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
That didn't really fly, did it? Didn't see the Brooke Satchwell comparison, Judge, but you're still strong on it.
I think it's there. The Triple M family have been right behind it too, to be honest.
Have they?
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is a man who wore the blue and white hoops on 288 occasions. He played in three grand finals for the Cats, was a best and fairest winner, and sits comfortably in Geelong's Hall of Fame. But his greatest honour might be representation in the Italian team of the century.
The fate of the match riding on Peter Riccardi. It leaves the boot. It's swinging back. It's
done. Please welcome Peter after the siren Riccardi.
Oh, one of the great players from the Geelong Football Club in the day joins us on the Friday Huddle, the great Peter Riccardi. Pete, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good, lads. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. Where are you and how are you tracking in this strange world at the moment?
Yeah, it's an amazing. I'm just at home, sitting on the couch, hand down my pants, just waiting for the footy to roll on.
Where's home? Are you in G-Town or elsewhere?
Yeah, in Geelong. I live actually 3 minutes from the ground now, so 3 minutes from the footy club and 3 minutes from Billy's pub.
Yeah, Pete, you're an unbelievable player, 288 games and kicked 286 goals, represented Victoria, superstar player Peter Riccardi. Are you a big Cats man? Are you one of the ex-players that you still dial in tonight and watch with great interest?
Yeah, sure do. The family and I have got seats at the club, so yeah, we go heavily. We go to every home game when we can, because I still coach up here as well. So when we get a chance, we get out there and have a look.
And who are you coaching, Peter?
I coach one of my junior sides out at Bannockburn, which is 20 minutes just out of Geelong. I lived there as a young punter. Won my first flag with them, my only flag. And so out there coaching them.
Pete, we're very big on hairstyles in the Friday Huddle here, and Stephen Kernahan had great tails out the back, but every game I think you played, you still had those little tails out the back, and it was a real pleasure to watch you with those tails flapping in the wind.
Yeah, well, Mum said when I was a young punter, she goes, curls get the girls, so I ran with it for a little while, until I was old enough to realise she was lying.
Peter, you were fortunate enough to play in a grand final in your debut season and then continued for 15 years after. And obviously there's a crossover from your good self of the two Gary Ablett's. Obviously they're very, very different. How do you assess them, though, when you do and are asked to rank the better?
Yeah, I think overall, Junior is a better overall player. But if you're just going to go watch someone play footy, you'd go watch Gary Senior any day of the week. He puts bums on seats and worth every penny when you went and watched him. I obviously played a lot of footy with him and got caught up myself watching him and not actually concentrating on actually playing the game of footy. I was lucky enough to play, I think, 6-7 years with him, and I think I was lucky enough to play 5 years with Gaz. So, yeah, I was one of the lucky ones. I think it was one of two or three, I think, that played with both.
We are speaking to Peter Riccardi on the Friday Huddle. Pete, for all your nearly 300-plus games, you're known for the kick of the siren. Last quarter, the Cats are 38 points up. The Blues come hard. You need to kick it after the siren. What are your memories? How did you get the footy and take us through the kick?
I do remember. It wasn't much time to go. And I remember we won the centre clearance, and David Clark actually hit me up on his left foot. He's not a very good kick overall on his right, but he's
hit one where no one else could actually spoil it, which was 30 centimetres off the ground, where I had to dive to take the mark. So poor old Simon Wiggins had no opportunity to spoil it. And then going back, I did see someone at the corner of my eye, but the runners come out and said there's only 30 seconds to go, so I knew there wasn't much time. I thought if I had kicked it and the siren went, you miss the opportunity. So just went back. There was actually no pressure on you because you're outside 50. So no expectations. Just hit it as sweet as you can and hope for the best, and that's what happened.
There was talk at the time that we need a very initial version of the goal review system. Simon Wiggins on the mark claimed he touched it at the time. Any truth to that, Pete, or do you think it was a ridgy-didge goal?
Well, at the time I didn't know, but when speaking to him, he said he actually threw it through. But all I keep on saying, if he actually touched it, if he didn't touch it, it would have went second row up. So I'm not sure who's right and who's wrong. But when you watch it over, there was 45 people on the mark, and Mickey Mansfield, 2 metres beside me, running alongside me, encouraging me to kick the goal.
Now, Pete, I'm actually reading...
And he was playing for Carlton at that time.
Pete, I'm reading your Wikipedia page at the moment, and it talks about the goal in the writing, and it says... Peter Riccardi famously won a game against Carlton with a 50-metre goal after the siren, which was clearly touched by superstar Carlton utility number 31, Simon Wiggins, who to this day has no faith in the goal umpiring system. Simon Wiggins has got into your Wikipedia page and posted that himself. I'm sure that's the case. That is extraordinary.
I reckon he's right too. But yeah, like I said, he reckons he actually threw it through for a goal. So, and to this day, you don't know who to believe. I didn't hear the ball get touched, but to be honest, it was an ugly kick off the boot, or it was an ugly kick once it passed his hand.
Hey, Pete, we've talked about Gary Ablett and how good he was, but you played with some amazing midfielders through that era too. You had Couch, Hocking, Bairstow, all these guys who were just wonderful midfielders. Who was the best midfielder outside Gary Ablett Senior you played with?
Oh, the best, geez, I played with a lot. Gary Hocking, he was just a bull. But I've also played with like Jimmy Bartell as well and Corey Enright, and Joel Corey, they're champions of their own. I couldn't really rank them one to 10, really. They're all extraordinary players. Couchy won a Brownlow, obviously Gaz has won a Brownlow, Jimmy's won a Brownlow. When Joel Corey comes to the club, I rated him as when he came, I thought he's going to win a Brownlow, this kid. He was very well built, played obviously a lot of games as footy and won 3 flags as well. So he would have been your pick, but didn't win the Brownlow. But and also, you played with Chappie, Stevie J, I was fortunate enough to play with some very good players.
You were speaking with Peter Riccardi on the Friday Huddle. Peter, you played in 3 of those 4 losing grand final teams in that period, and there's so many amazing Geelong names who unfortunately missed out on the ultimate success. And yet, when the team did win the first of those 3 premierships in 2007, the grace with which you and other players who got so far but failed was almost overwhelming. You really embraced the celebration, didn't you, as a collective? And even in your case, you only were still playing the year prior to that 2007 flag.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming I was a bad luck. That's why I retired in 2006. no, it was just, look, I was unlucky. I played in 3, obviously losing ones, which is not nice, but you still have the opportunity. But when the boys won it in 2007, that was fantastic. And I just, you just take pride in how they went about it, because I played with all them the year before, and, all I did was wish them well and went along for the ride for the next 3 days.
And Pete, how are you, as we let you go, how are you paying the bills these days?
Yeah, I've got my own concrete business. I was a family business, so Riccardi Concrete. You can catch us on Facebook if you want a quote. But yeah, so the old man had it, and kind of when I finished up, he wanted a hand for a week, and I'm still doing it now.
Well, Pete, what we do every week with our special guests is we do a thing called Name That Voice, and I play you 5 names or 5 voices that you try and pick. You've either played with these guys or you might have played against them. Here's the first one.
Footy to me was just a game. It was something that I just loved, and I was reasonably good at it. Do I take it too seriously? Probably not. Should I have? Probably.
Yeah, that's the great John Barnes.
Nice. Second one.
What are the big issues in North Geelong? Literacy with school children, drug abuse. What are the big issues in North Geelong?
All those. But as you know, I haven't got a great feel of it, and that's what I've got to look at.
That's our Lord Mayor, Billy Brownless.
The great decoy. Here's number three.
Well, when I played at Geelong, I loved every minute of it, but the NFL Super Bowl was something else again.
Yeah, well, I travelled to most games with this bloke, Ben Graham, so I know him very well.
Number four, three from three so far.
You know, I'm really happy with the way my body is and, you know, with all the hard work that I've done through pre-season and the way I'm recovering and everything like that. It's been really good, so hopefully I can get through this year injury-free and then hopefully launch into next year the same.
Oh, Jesus, you got me, boys.
That's Paul Chapman, that one.
Good chappy, was it?
Three from four. He's number five.
Obviously, you know, a lot of things have changed. There's no such thing as permanent full forwards anymore. You know, you've really got to be flexible in the positions you can play these days as a player.
Yeah, that's a great man himself, Gazza.
We've got one more. This is a bit of a left field one.
Righto.
Yeah, well, the first couple of days that went, like, even the night, that was real quick. Like, since, you know, you got read out and, you know, everyone comes rushing over to see you and stuff like that. So that was a pretty, I went for about 5 or 6 hours, but it just felt like 20 minutes, you know, so it was all quick.
Yep, who is it?
That's young Jake Riccardi.
I was going to say him.
Cousin Jake.
Yeah. Well, me two young fellas, they think he's their brother. I got a message from my young one, Boston, would have been middle of last year. Saying, Dad, have you got another son? Have you?
It's the question one wants asked of him.
Pete brought it up.
Yeah. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I'm reading this AFL website, and he goes, there's a Jake Riccardi who they said you're his father. I said, not that I know of.
Hey, Pete, lovely to chat with you, mate. Great to hear you're doing well. Stay safe. Good luck to you and your catters tonight. It's been a treat to chat with you on the Friday Huddle.
Thanks, boys.
What a superb player, Peter Riccardi.
He was a star.
In full flight. Just do not get any better than Peter Riccardi. It was great to catch up with him.
Incredible. 133.53. For the first time in the history of the Friday Huddle, off the back of Peter Riccardi, we have a caller judge on the line.
Very exciting.
Hello and welcome.
James from Sandringham.
Hello, James. Nice to speak to you. You've been listening to Peter Riccardi. Something piqued your interest from Peter Riccardi, did it?
Well, listen, we used to do the Sunday turnaround game on Channel 9 back in the very brief period that 9 had the footy.
Yep.
And that was BT and myself, and Gary was doing the special comments. And what Peter Riccardi was involved in was quite extraordinary because my memory's not great. I actually don't remember what I did a minute ago, but I remember this because Carlton were playing Geelong at whatever the hell Marvel was called back then. And I reckon they were up by nearly 10 goals at halftime.
Yep.
And so when I say turnaround game, Howie, what it was we recorded that game. So in other words, commentated it live, but it was recorded. And then it was turned around so that the game at lunchtime on a Sunday had finished and then they would turn around and that one would roll into news.
Yep.
So I don't know why, but that used to create Bristle, Gaz and myself fart-arsing around a fair bit. And we used to get in trouble from the boss because we didn't, you know, take the call seriously enough and all the rest. But, so this game, 10 goals down half-time, we started farting around deluxe. What we didn't know was a live feed of our call that was going to be turned around was going into the offices of Channel 9 in Sydney.
Yes.
And the great Kerry Packer was watching our feed live as we were farting around. So halftime came and Cos Cardone, who was head of Nine Sport, walked into the commentary box and said something to Gary and the two of them got up and walked out. And Brian and I are sitting there wondering what the hell is going on, but had no idea. Anyway, the lone wolf came walking back in about 5 minutes later and all of the colour had drained out of his face. And he's given it the... Stop stuffing around, you blokes. I'm sick of this. Stop stuffing around. Get straighten your call up. I'm bloody sick of it. You know, Bristol and I are looking at it going, Jesus, what's happened to him? Anyway, I only found out quite a while later that what had happened was Kerry Packer had picked up the phone and rung the truck, and Cos was in the truck, and said, "Tell your golden bollocks boy," which was Gary, "tell him if he starts talking my product down one more time, he can find himself another job." So Brian and I had no idea any of this had happened. Gaz has come back in furious with the two of us stuffing around. And so fair to say, the second half of the game was called a little differently to the first half.
Well, I think the catch came from the clouds. This is the call of your goal, courtesy of Channel 9 at the time.
The fate of the match riding on Peter Riccardi. It leaves the boot. It's swinging back. It's
Have you ever had, in any other time, correspondence with Kerry to discuss that situation, James? Because you obviously nailed it in the end.
No, I avoided Kerry Packer like the plague when I worked for Nine, because the only time he ever spoke to anyone was when they were in trouble. So I just thought, well, if I don't ever speak to him, it means I'm not in trouble, and that's a good thing. So I never actually even met him. I didn't meet his son either. So maybe that was why I ended up getting the arse out of that.
Looking back, was it touch, JB, the Riccardi kick?
Now you are testing my memory. I honestly don't remember enough about it. I remember it being in one of those incredible games where, I mean, were they 60 points up?
Something like that, Jim.
I mean, that's just nuts. How do you come from 10 goals down? It's incredible. But I don't remember enough about it. But the look on Gary Lyon's face when he walked back into the commentary box with all the blood having drained out of him. And he had a fair amount of swagger back in the day. There wasn't much that could knock him off his perch, but this conversation had severely straightened him up. And then he suggested to Brian and myself that we needed to straighten up.
Great story.
How's your body shape going, Jim? We know that we're all in lockdown at the moment, and you're not the hardest worker going around. Me and you do a little bit of boxer sizing together, but you haven't got the biggest arms. How have you been going?
Well, I'm not carrying as much weight as you are just at the minute. I just I clicked onto the Sunday Footy Show the other day, and you look like you've gone out, as in wide. So we do need to get back to get hold of Luke, who's an animal, by the way. He's not a man I enjoy, but we need to get back and start working again. I had a look at the mirror the other day, and I'm starting to look a bit old. And that's not giving me any pleasure.
Speaking of Channel 9, are we going to get you back soon to Channel 9, Jim?
Well, not if Tone the Chompers Jones has got anything to do with it, because I moved him aside from the Sunday Footy Show once. He didn't speak to me for 10 years.
I've just got an image of Nate Brown and James Brayshaw, capable of doing a lot of things, but don't strike a lot of fear, I would have thought, in the boxing room, the two of them.
That joke, wash your mouth out. I'm telling you now, I've got craft and anger. And Jim, those are two good things for a boxer.
We appreciate your time. Love you on the Saturday rub tomorrow from midday. Thanks for coming on and telling us about Kerry Packer.
Is Chris Judd still involved in this show, or has he moved on to greater things?
No, here, JB, I asked you the question if it was touched, if you recall, just a few moments ago. Well, glad it really hit a point.
You seem to be taking a very much a back seat in this interview. Am I intimidating you or something?
No, I just get more focus for the A grade guests, Jim. When I let Howard and the team do the C grade, to be honest.
Thanks, Jim.
Behave, you lot.
Good on you, JB.
Yeah, mate.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Judy.
For Spirit Internet and IT, Australia's leading internet and IT provider for businesses.
Wonderful to have the crew at Spirit Internet on board. As always, you've just slid down the order a bit this week.
I noticed that. I can only assume everyone's tuning in for the game, and this is when we have our most viewers. That's what makes sense to me, Howard.
Well, the top five's been good.
Yeah.
Top five's been terrific.
It was a change of the rundown, top five.
When you go to a concert, Howard,
yeah,
it sort of crescendos into the main event, and that's sort of obviously what's happening here.
Yeah, and don't get yourself confused, because you went with most viewers, and we know when you're performative viewers, you're not at your best. So, listeners, you're at your best. So stick with listeners and you'll be all right, Chris.
Well done, Howard. You ready for me to take over now for my segment?
Go on then, off you go.
Thank you to Spirit Internet IT. One vote this week, Howard, goes to starting over.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that Beck was in the headlines this time last week after her comments about Dictator Dan, which the I Stand With Dan crowd were outraged about. And we can't have anyone outraged with the Judds. So, as you know, I called an emergency meeting with my communications team.
Yep.
We met early on Saturday morning. And I said, guys and girls, because there's both genders there, we need to give the Judd brand a boost. Okay? Yeah. We're not carrying on like this stuff. You need to come to me with an idea to give the Judd brand a boost. And they did. We put our collective heads together.
Yep.
And we've come up with Chris Judd Cares. Okay? Now, what is Chris Judd Cares, you may ask? Well, it's some digital content where my team films me walking around the community doing good deeds.
I love it.
Find a wounded animal, Duke, and I'll pick up that wounded animal and look to try and help it wherever I can. Maybe helping an old person across the road from a safe distance, Howard, from your 1.5 metres, won't be touching them, but just sort of interacting. Making sure they're getting, could be planting a tree. You know, I've had a couple of run-ins in the morning to council in that area. Maybe it could be planting a tree. So if the Triple M family do come across the Chris Judd Cares content, the hashtag Chris Judd Cares content, make sure you share it. Because as I say to the young ones, Duke, if you do a nice action and it doesn't make its way on Instagram, has it even happened? You know? And so,
can we get that started tonight? Yeah. Hashtag Chris Judd Cares. Start it trending, please, on all your social media. It's a great campaign. What under the team, I think.
Thank you. The team's done a brilliant job. So we're starting on 2 votes this week, Howard.
Chris Judd Cares.
Goes to glass half empty.
Yep, I know.
And to be honest, I thought a lot of people, Noodles, were a bit negative towards the lockdown extensions last Sunday. Yeah, a lot of noise about businesses can't operate, kids can't get a proper education, isolation, lack of freedom, etc. Took a couple of big positives out of it, to be honest. I have intelligence very close to the government. The Andrews government was actually looking to introduce a mandated bedtime, Howard, which was going to be 9:30, 10 o'clock if you'd ate all your veggies. And I think the fact they didn't go with that, and we still can elect to choose which time we want to go to bed, was a big positive. The other thing, which was huge.
Yes.
Victoria's got a supercomputer, you know? I mean, I'm a little bit upset that Duke offended the Premier because if he didn't, I reckon we could have got access to the supercomputer. Imagine what it could have done to our pundits club. You know, Damo could have got a couple of models written on the best way to get to breakfast without getting bashed by Luke Beveridge. Supercomputer could have shot out 1,000 models for that. Even your apologies, Howard. We know you struggle with them. Get the supercomputer onto that with 100 different options. I mean, it could have been great. So that were the big positives last week. The 3 votes this week goes to questions. Mm-hmm. So many questions.
What about questions, Judge?
The biggest question I've got from all this, Duke.
What's that?
Do people wearing masks when they're driving in their car by themselves wear a condom when they're lying in bed all alone? And got to ask it. It's a big one, and I don't know what the answer is.
I think it's very good to put that on the agenda. And
Does that get dumped these days?
We've got some sniggerers who are very quiet. I think it's a legitimate question. I drive around and you see people on their own in their car, Juddy.
Because my nose is red as a, like, I look like Rudolph at the minute from those masks. So in the car, I reckon it's probably safe to peel it off, Howard.
You know, it's something we've missed, Howard, since the judge has walked in today. And we normally make note of anybody who comes in with anything new on, but the judge has rolled in a brand new pair of high-top Gucci's. Now, these high-top Gucci's, we spoke about my Balenciagas, and they are north of my Balenciagas. And we know that the Balenciagas were $1,275. Now, these bad boys that the judge has got on are Gucci. Yeah. And it's not his first pair of Gucci's he's got. This is the second, maybe even the third pair. He's got a dark pair. Now he's got a light pair. And it's north of $1,500, Howard.
That's not true, Nate. And you ruined my relatability when you go. Boys, to be honest.
They are that big. They are that big, they wouldn't fit in your swimming pool, Judge. Chris will
Are they a pre-recession purchase, can I ask?
It was my birthday during the week, Duke.
A
gift from my beautiful bride, Rebecca. Beautiful.
Give us a ballpark, Noodles. This is your area. Price of shoe.
$1,400, Howard.
That's rubbish. Can't put a price on love, Howard.
I'm not sure these shoes should get a run. Free. Hashtag Chris Judd Cares. Yes. Did Beck post them?
No, she didn't post them.
Oh, so she might have paid for them.
Of course. What sort of a world do you think we live in, Howard? People just send stuff to us for free, dude. Come on.
How skeptical and how...
I'm sorry.
133353 for anyone that wants to know the PO Box details for the Judd family, of
Very
course.
Very nice version of Judge Juddy. Damo, you gone.
Chris Judd Cares. I think we need to get that out. I reckon the high-top Gucci's could form part of that. Bring them all in together.
The winners get dinners with Macca's and Uber Eats. Order McDonald's before half time via the Uber Eats app and enter your team's code word. Think Geelong will win, use Geelong. Richmond to win, use Richmond. If they win, you win. $16 promo code to use next time you get Macca's through the Uber Eats app. Fantastic T&Cs apply. Damo, a little bit more news while we've got you on the line.
Yeah, we touched on before about Stephen Cornelio being an omission from the Giants team to play Melbourne. Well, the Bombers have also dropped a very big name in Carl Hooker, who's been axed for their game tomorrow against Port Adelaide. It's also a defence dust, which is already without Michael Hurley. He's out injured for this game. Heppel's out for the year injured as well. Mosquito injured, as we knew from last week. And Redmond has been omitted, but that's a big statement with Carl Hooker. Still got a couple of years to run on a very big contract that he signed, and to omit him at this stage of this very ordinary season for the Bombers.
It's a couple of big names out, isn't it? A couple of really big names out.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.